As you know, we've been studying through, you can turn to John chapter 6 while we're doing it. And I don't have a, if somebody's going to use one of our Bibles, just shout out the page number when you get there. I didn't look it up in our black Bibles. But as you know, a few weeks ago we began a short study. We finished Titus, and before we launched into another, what was it? 891. We're hearing shouts out, 891. John chapter 6. A few weeks ago, in between our studies, before we launched into another, maybe a book, the 1 Corinthians, I think might be the next one we go into, we took some time to talk about this convergence, this heartbeat, this value that we have here at City View, and I believe it's a kingdom value, of taking the deep truths of the Word and a deep reverence for His holy Word, that Bible that you hear turning now, that Word and the things of the Spirit. And so often we've divided them in our minds and in our practices, but one thing we want to labor at and pray for here at City View in the Church of York County is a real convergence of those two aspects, of something that is not just the blending of a little Word, a little Spirit, but not too much of each, but all of it, all the things of the Spirit, all the depths of the words, where we can stand on principles of doctrine and not have it be dead, dry, and boring, but functional and life-giving. So we began to talk about those things, and last week we talked about, am I open to the Word? So we had some questions and we were wrestling with, so hopefully you took that home and wrestled with it this week. This week, my intent was to dive into, are we then open to the Spirit? But as I began to study it, I realized that this is going to be harder than I thought in a lot of ways. It's much more complex than just, hey, let's throw some questions up to see if we're open. First of all, who is the Holy Spirit? And then I thought, well, before we can discern who the Holy Spirit is, we have to discern who God is in the Trinity and how the Holy Spirit fits in all that. And is He just like a little subordinate part, or is He... I have this really great teaching on the Trinity, and I was working on it this week, and I lost it, the whole thing. It just went away. I got that little circle of death, you know, like your computer's thinking. It used to be the hourglass, but now it's that little thing that goes around. And I looked up, and it said, not responding. And do you remember how I reacted when they didn't give me chicken nuggets at Wendy's? Wasn't good. So what I did is I did the whole thing over again. Put the whole thing back together again. And Christy goes, isn't it funny you're going to talk about the Holy Spirit and that happened? I said, no one asked you. And I know you guys don't talk to your wives that way, but my wife asks me a lot, are you even saved? Does your spouse say that to you? Is it James that says, examine yourself to see if you're of the faith? Well, my wife does that. Like, are you even saved? Sean, that's not funny. One day you're going to know what I'm talking about, buddy. So what I did is I just put the whole thing back together, the whole teaching, which is a good teaching. But it's not a teaching for today. Maybe next week, we'll see. And I knew that this morning when I woke up, the scripture in John just waved over me, and I thought, man, like, I don't have anything prepared on John chapter 6. But I'm going to just share a few, and just the nature of the way this is flowing this morning, it just makes sense now, but that's not something I usually do. But I want to weave it in with what significance happened last night. Those of you that have been with us many years, you've kind of seen us kind of go through many kind of transitions. I said a few weeks ago, I don't know if I said it publicly, but just if I feel like we've, as a congregation, have kind of shifted into a new season. Now, that can sound super spiritual, and you hear people say that all the time, so I don't say that lightly. You just feel it. I couldn't quite put a name on it or what it meant. I know from a leadership standpoint, you know, it's just... there's this transition for us, and last night, it was like a propulsion into it, and it's something that, you know, as a leader, we sit around the table, we talk about plans, and just kind of like, and you don't want to put your hands too much on it, but you can just sit back and do nothing too and call it being led by the Spirit. And that's not what we're aiming for. But you also can grab a hold of it and control it. But somewhere in the middle there is kind of where we've been, and you just believe in God to do things that only He can do. And I believe a significant thing happened last night in our time. The good news is it's not just for those that were here. Amen? So part of this is to guilt you a little bit for not being here. But really, most of it is just to say, hey, it's a good day. It's a new day. We've been kind of sensing it, and now we know it. And John chapter 6 speaks to that, I guess. I woke up and thought, well, we got to make it fit. So we're going to. John chapter 6, let's begin at verse maybe... there's so much. Let's begin in verse 53. John chapter 6, verse 53. I want to read it, and then I just have a couple notes to help us to square up on all of this. Did anybody else sense that last night? Or was this a good time? With Kent, who named me Buster. Thank you, everyone, for calling me that. You didn't forget. Yeah, Buster, yeah. Well, we have a name for him now, and somebody coined it. If you've ever seen the movie Nemo, Finding Nemo, you know those turtles? Like the one guy's name was Crush. It's like, yo, dude, like, wasn't that him? So we call him Crush. He did talk about coming back in the summer for a whole week. He reiterated that afterwards too. So he'll come just hang out all week. So we'll have to take off all week and it'll be great. But let's look at John chapter 6, verse 53, and then we're going to share in communion together. And John chapter 6, verse 53, I woke up with these words going through my head. Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in me. Isn't that a great way to wake up? That's a good thought. He says, whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up in the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. He's speaking metaphorically here, in case you're getting worried about where you came this morning. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not as the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. And Jesus said these things in the synagogue as he taught at Capernaum. In verse 60, and many of his disciples heard it. They heard these words and said, this is a hard saying. Yeah, tell me about it. Those are hard words to read. Can you imagine hearing them from Jesus' own lips? This is a hard saying. Who can listen to it? But Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were grumbling about this, said to them, do not take offense at this. Or, do you take offense at this? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is of no avail. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But there are some of you who do not believe. It says, for Jesus knew from the beginning that some of them didn't believe and that one of them was going to betray him. And he said, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by the Father. And in verse 66, after this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. Of course, then he turns to the 12 and says, do you want to go away as well? Do you want to leave too? Of course, then you got Peter there, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. Where else do we have to go? Father, I pray, Lord, in this short time together, Lord, that you would open our hearts and our ears to hear. Speak to us, Lord, the things that you have for us this morning. Oh, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus here is speaking metaphorically to the whole of Jesus. In Exodus chapter 12, when they're talking about the Passover meal, they're talking about taking the lamb and discerning how many in your family are going to be eating and maybe inviting another family to come in to eat the whole lamb. You know, those of you that know Ivan Tate's ministry, that ring, you remember eating the whole lamb. He had a sermon, a whole sermon series on that. Well, Jesus in these verses is speaking to that principle. You cannot just choose part of me or what you like. It's all or none. And he uses it by saying, listen, you're going to eat this flesh and drink this blood to have eternal life. And of course, they said this is a hard saying. And I had to ask the question, why did they say it's a hard thing? We have to turn back to page. We have to turn back to verse 20, chapter 6, verse 26. 626. Kind of flip a page and look back. Why did they say this was a hard saying? I believe this is part of it. And I think it's a word for us this morning. Jesus said to them, I say to you, you are seeking me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. See, what had just happened is the 5,000 were just fed. There was a walking on the water. There were some pretty crazy things going on. And then Jesus transitions his ministry. And we see, if you study this out, in this point in his ministry, you see a real shift happening where Jesus starts saying some very deep things, some very challenging things, some very difficult things. And as you saw, many left him. Can you imagine walking away from Jesus Christ in the flesh, the Son incarnate? Well, I don't like what you're saying. I'm leaving. Of course, you don't know, but you're walking away from him. But Jesus says in verse 26, listen, it's not even about the signs. It's not even about I'm walking on water. It's not even about all the miracles. It's about your comfort. You're satisfied. You ate. You like that. That's why you eat food, right? To be satisfied and nourished. He says, well, you like that. And it likens us where we are as a church, I believe, and I speak to City View here, is that we're heading in through a transition where, and it just struck me last night, just the timeliness of where God has us and just even what we're talking about, moving and transitioning into things where one of the things I was going to lead off in the Holy Spirit is this: Holy Spirit will be an offense to many of us. He will offend us. He's God, but God in the Holy Spirit is offensive to many of us. We're very comfortable with some of the other members of the Godhead, Jesus maybe, and even the Father. But the Holy Spirit's going to bring offense. And these words brought utter offense to these guys. You've got to eat all of me. You've got to take all of me. But some of us wouldn't have it. The physical benefits of Jesus, the comfort, the assurance of knowing even eternal life, that's enough. Don't get me wrong, eternal life is incredible, the promise. There's a lot that he wants to do in us and even as a church. Gary Richardson, during prayer at 8:30, did you know we have prayer at 8:30? Did I tell you that? We may have mentioned it, Benjamin, a couple times. Phenomenal this morning. Prayer doesn't have to be boring, by the way. This morning, Gary Richardson, where's he at? Oh, he left. Oh. I told him I was going to give him credit for this. I wasn't going to steal his line. But Gary sat down to pray down here, and he says, listen, God, we don't, I had to write it down. We're not just going to sit here and ask for something that we're not going to put into use to bless others. Gary, that's gold. To write that down. We're going to put that across the wall out there. But, hey, feeling safe. Hey, God loves me. Dwelling in the love of God and everything is wonderful. But that's not all of it. We are to walk out of here exhibiting the glory of God. Whether that's at your work or at your home, and there's so much more that He has for us. I don't mean to minimize eternity, but that we can feel a real safety in that. See, I just love Jesus. Oh, I don't want the gifts. I don't want to be stretched. I don't want Him pushing me out into doing things that are uncomfortable, having to forgive people. That is probably the we talk about the enemy has been defeated, and that E is not capitalized. It's not just Satan. The enemy. Well, of course, Satan's head's been crushed. But the enemy, many of us embrace the enemy of unforgiveness. And we love to feel justified in it, but it's killing us. And what Jesus is saying here is, listen, you can't live with that. You eat all of it. You forgive. You lay it all down. See, but you don't know what they did to me. You don't know what He does to me when He's not in church. When we go home, you don't know what He's like. I know. But the command is to forgive. So the enemy's been defeated, but we embrace the enemy sometimes in a lot of forms. But in these passages, Jesus is calling them to a depth of following Him that gets very uncomfortable. And it's a place that, like, hey, the miracles are great and all of that, but when you start making me have to be a part of it, if you're drawing me into a deeper walk with Him, you're drawing... you want me to do that? You want me to forgive? You want me to pray? You want me to show up and do it? That's too hard. We don't say it. We'll say, well, that's religious. I don't need to do that. John chapter 6, 65, Jesus is just real relaxed in this. And He says, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted to him by the Father. See, we read that. In looking at that this morning, God predestines and man is responsible. God predestines and man is responsible. They seem like they conflict. There are two truths found in the Bible, and two truths will never contradict each other. We may not, in our finite understanding, get it, but doesn't mean it's not true. But many of us wrestle with that kind of statement. He knew that they didn't believe in Him. So as we call people as City View, one of the things on our mission statement is to call all people. God predestines them to meet Him, and then He puts the responsibility on us to respond as well. Hallelujah.